Abortion has always been part of the narrative in the conversation. Abortion was legalized when I was fairly young. So it's really been part of the political landscape my entire life, but to a, you know, a lesser extent until just recently. And in fact, we never talked about abortion much on the radio program here because there wasn't much to gain. Roe v. Wade was the decision by the Supreme Court, and that's kind of the way it was until recently when the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, basically suggested the idea of not only should we have full-term abortions, but the idea that a postnatal abortion in some cases was somehow morally acceptable. Of course, it's not. And then other states like Vermont and now Illinois want to have abortions at any time during pregnancy as an elective procedure. Don't have to have a reason. Don't really need to talk to many people. One doctor, as long as he says fine, then you go ahead with it. And it crosses a line for so many people. In fact, I've talked to pro-choice people that say, we can't support that. It's nauseating. It's upsetting. And Dr. John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, took a deep dive into abortion in a different way. First of all, doctor, thank you for being here.
Good to talk to you.
But you took a look at some different statistics, and I'm really glad you did. And what you are looking at in an article that I just read here is how abortion, how Roe v. Wade has changed America. Let's start with that. How has it made big impacts on who we are as Americans?
All right. Well, the 1970s had huge changes. This is from academic work that I had done that was published. The 1970s, you saw a big increase in premarital sex. You saw a huge rise in out-of-wedlock births, obviously a big increase in abortions, a drop in the number of children being put up for adoption, and a decline in what was called shotgun marriages, the rate of shotgun marriages, marriages that occurred after the woman was pregnant,
sure,
was fairly constant as long as we had data from the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and then it pretty much disappeared by the end of the 70s. And the question is, a lot of these things seem to be very contrary. I mean, why, if you legalize abortion and you have a big increase in abortion, do you have a lot of more out-of-wedlock births? And if you're having a lot more out-of-wedlock births, why is it that you don't have children in the United States being put up for adoption? I mean, you may be old enough to remember back in the 60s, there'd be national television campaigns to try to get people to adopt young kids. They didn't do that by the time you got to the mid or late 70s because people were already traveling abroad to other countries to try to adopt children. So why is it that we have all these huge changes? Well, it's actually pretty easy to explain as a result of liberalization of abortion. First of all, abortion was never banned. It may have been much more difficult to get it in different states, but it was never banned in any of the states. But when you have abortion on demand, essentially, it becomes less risky to engage in premarital sex.
Right. You have a false sense of security in a way. I mean, you have a backdrop, if you will.
You're able to go and it's not false to the extent that they are able to end the pregnancy there.
Fair point.
But so if the cost of engaging in unsafe sex is reduced, people are going to go and engage in more of that. Well, the thing is, you can think there's basically two types of women out there, let's just for simplicity say. You have those women who are more than happy to have an abortion, and then you have those who aren't willing to have an abortion, no matter what. Now, when you liberalize abortion, the women who are willing to have an abortion start having a lot more premarital sex. And that puts pressure on these other women. You know, you got a marriage market out there, dating out there. Guys, they want to have sex. And so, if some women are willing to have sex a lot outside of marriage and others aren't, they're going to be more likely to go with the women who are willing to have sex. So a number of those women who are not willing to have an abortion have premarital sex just to be because
they go,
want to go out with guys.
Right. They go along and get along. Right.
And some of them, a number of them, get pregnant. And so you have this big increase in both abortions and out of wedlock births because you have a lot more women having sex of both types of women.
So let me ask you something. I want to go back to something you mentioned here, though, because there's something that seems to be contradictory here. In the 1960s, and I don't remember this, but I take it to be true that they had these, I'll call it a telethon, these pushes to get children adopted in the United States.
Well, they were, I remember them on the television.
Sure, And what I'm saying, though, is you have an increase here of out-of-wedlock births since the Roe v. Wade decision. If you have an increase of out-of-wedlock births, why did the number of those being put up for adoption decline so much?
That's the next point I was going to get into, and that is, so you have these two types of women. You had ones that are willing to have an abortion. You know, if they had gotten pregnant before, they didn't want to have the kid, they put them up for abortion, adoption.
Right.
But if they weren't allowed to have the abortion, the thing is, the women who refuse to have an abortion also are much less willing to put up their kids for adoption. You know, whether it's because they have more of a connection with the baby inside them or whatever, I can't guess. But what you see is that the women who do take it to term after they get pregnant and don't have an abortion are very different than the women who would get pregnant beforehand and you know, who wanted to have an abortion but couldn't. And the women who wanted to have an abortion but couldn't but had to take the baby to term, they didn't want to have the baby. They got rid of the baby.
Sure.
But the ones who couldn't, who didn't want to have an abortion, maybe it's religious views, maybe it's something else, just are much less willing to put the baby up for adoption.
Right.
And
so it's and changed you also America. Saw these, it really has changed America in many ways.
You see all these changes occurring during the 70s, and shotgun marriages were ended because beforehand, if the woman got pregnant, there was social pressure on the guy to do the right thing and get married.
Right.
After abortion was legalized, the guy would say, look, I don't want to have the kid. You should have an abortion. If you choose not to have an abortion, that's your choice, you know, and you have to live with the consequences of it. And so you had a lot more,
Yeah, a lot of truth to that, except the guys cannot walk away from their responsibility. They still get a child support Dunning notice. So, you know, women can walk away from their parental rights by way of an abortion. Guys, you're permanently, if the woman decides to have the child, you're permanently financially tied to that child until they're 18.
Right, but there's a big difference between being financially tied and your time tied for going and taking care of the child.
Yeah, fair point.
I'm not saying, but basically, you look at shotgun marriages, they basically were ended by the time you get to the late 70s.
Well, there you go. Fascinating research here. Really fascinating, the way that it has changed America. I smell a new book here for you. Dr. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. There you go. What's the name of the book?
My book, Freedomnomics.
Freedomnomics
actually goes through and talks about this.
Excellent. Dr. John Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org. You can find out more about Freedomnomics and everything that the doctor does. Doctor, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Well done. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
Hey, parents, it's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Some knowledge belongs to us and us alone. The way our girlfriends walk, the way they talk, the way they touch their hair. We hold details that only a sister can know about her girls. But what about our other girls? The ones that we carry with us every day. Can we describe them when everything's right? Can we feel when something's wrong? Our bond with our sister girls gives life. But knowing your breasts can save it.
You don't know what.
Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. That's knowyourgirls.org, brought to you by Susan G. Coleman and the Ad Council.
You